Good morning and welcome to the first episode of our new mini-series, the new P&L 10 and 10. 10 practical business tips in just 10 minutes. Each of our guests on this mini-series are experts in their field, and over the next few weeks they'll be delivering the 10 best pieces of advice directly to you. 10 tangible, actionable insights that you can take away and start delivering immediately in your business. And this week, we will be considering how to develop more powerful and purposeful presentations. Because whether you are communicating your strategic vision to employees or pitching to clients or presenting to board members, shareholders or stakeholders, strong, nuanced and purposeful presentation skills are critical to both delivering your messaging effectively and ensuring that it resonates with your audience and influences them so that they can take actions as a result. So in this first week of our mini-series, we have Andrea Bacini, presentation coach and head of ideas on Stage UK, who will be outlining his 10 top tips on how to present with more purpose and more power to more people. And Andrea specializes in working with business owners and leaders in their teams who want to become more confident presenters. He's worked with thousands of clients around the world, including Microsoft and the World Bank, and over 500 TEDx speakers. Andrea is on a mission to stop great ideas from failing just because of the way they are presented. His vision is to help hundreds of thousands of business leaders to share their messages so they can grow their business, increase their influence, and make a positive impact on the world. So Andrea, a very warm welcome to the new P&L 10 and 10. Thank you so much for making the time to join us.
Thank you, Paul. Looking forward to this today.
My pleasure. Thank you. So you're our very first guest on the new mini-series, and it's a crucial topic for everyone in business, as I've alluded to. How to present with more purpose, more power, and to more people. And as you know, you've got 10 minutes to deliver your top tangible insights and action points for our thousands of brilliant listeners here on the new P&L. So I'm going to start the clock, and off you go. Take it away, Andrea.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Again, my first tip is to take your presentations seriously, because a presentation is so much more than just PowerPoint. And when I say PowerPoint, I'm not talking about the presentation tool. I'm talking about the idea that a presentation is so much more than just putting together some slides. Because if you do it well, if you present your ideas well, then you have an opportunity to grow your business, increase your influence, a reputation, and credibility. You have an opportunity to make a bigger impact. So that's why it's so much more than just PowerPoint. In the end, you can have the greatest idea in the world, but if you can't communicate it, it doesn't matter. My second tip is to start with the audience. When you give a presentation, it's their presentation, not yours. It's always the audience's presentation. Think of a presentation as a present. If I want to give you a present, it's your present, not mine. And so I need to make sure that I know you so that I can buy something that you like. A presentation is very similar. When you give people a presentation, it's their presentation, not yours. And so you need to make sure that you know your audience, definitely before you open up PowerPoint, but before you do anything else. The best way to do that is to start with what I call the ABC of preparation. ABC stands for audience, burning needs, context. So you want to take some time and ask yourself some questions about the audience. Who are they? Their burning needs. What do they really need? What do they expect from your presentation? And the context as well. Another tip, define a transformational objective. When you give a presentation, your objective is never just to share some information. You want to create a transformation. Now, presentations are very bad at informing people, because if you look at how our brain works, we forget most of what we hear within just a few seconds. So if all you want to do is share information, fine, but there's no need to give a presentation. Think about your audience. Give them a document, give them a coffee, give them some time so that they can drink their coffee and read your document, and then you share some ideas, you answer their questions much better. When you give a presentation, it's because you want to transform your audience. Remember this, If after your presentation, your audience doesn't believe, feel, or do anything new or different, then you've wasted your time. And even worse, you've wasted theirs. Another tip, use simple language, simple words, simple sentences. Now, simple can be harder than complex because anyone can use long, confusing sentences. Anyone can use jargon, industry-specific terminology, technical language, acronyms that you understand, but not necessarily your audience. And that's what a lot of people do. A lot of people use complex language because they think that if they do that, then they sound smarter and more credible. The opposite is true. If you look at what great communicators do is they replace complex language with simple language. And when I say that you need to speak simply, don't get me wrong, this is not about oversimplifying your ideas. This is about finding and using language that as many people as possible in the audience, in your audience, can understand. My fifth tip is to go analog. Forget about PowerPoint, forget about tools, forget about technology. You want to brainstorm ideas for what you want to say during a presentation, and you want to do it analog. Pen and paper, notepads, sticky notes, whiteboards, flip charts. Do what works for you, but do it analog. You'll be much more creative. John Clay said, "We don't know where we get our ideas from, but what we do know is that we don't get them from our laptops." So as you brainstorm, there are three questions you want to ask yourself. Number one, what does my audience need to know after my presentation? Also, what do they need to believe? Or what do they need to feel in relation to my ideas? And then also, what do I want my audience to do as a result of my presentation? The answers to these questions will define the content of your presentation. Another tip, create a clear storyline. You want to take your audience on a journey. And the best journey, the simplest and most effective presentation storyline is a three-act play where you've got the opening and the objective is for you to be able to grab the audience's attention. Then you communicate your three key messages and then a punchline where you want to make it clear to the audience what was your point and why should they care about it. I say three key messages because three is the most persuasive number in communication. Now, if you're not doing this today, if you're not paying attention to the way you structure your presentations, you are making it hard for your audience to follow you, remember what you say, and do anything and take action. And that's why this is so important. Another tip, make it original and enjoyable. Because if you don't, the risk is that your content, your ideas will remain dry, factual, and boring. And of course, you don't want to be a boring presenter. John Medina, the author of Brain Rules, said that our brain doesn't pay attention to boring things. That's why. Once you have a simple and clear message which is relevant to your audience, you need to spice it up. You need to color it in. You need to make it original and enjoyable. How can you do that? The best thing you can do is to tell stories. Storytelling is powerful in communication. Our brain is hardwired to listen to stories, to enjoy them, to remember them. So every time there is a key point you want to get across, ask yourself, what story can I tell to illustrate that point? If you think about it, there's always a story to tell. The problem with most presentations is that they are 99% facts. And then if we are lucky, 1% is story. We should turn this around. Tell more stories. And this is one of the most powerful things you can do to make your content more original and enjoyable. Another tip, avoid death by PowerPoint. Research tells us that the written text is processed in exactly the same part of the brain that processes the spoken text. What that means is that every time you show slides full of text, lots of details, bullet points, then your audience will need to make a decision. Do I listen to the presenter or do I read the text? It's not possible to do both things at the same time. So when it comes to slide design, you want to keep it simple and visual. For example, if you think about restaurants, what good restaurants do is they pay a lot of attention to the food, of course, but they also pay a lot of attention to the way the food is presented. Even the most delicious dish must be properly plated, and presentation affects the taste. It's a fact. With your presentations, it's the same thing. The food is your message. Of course, you need to make sure that that's great quality, but you also need to pay attention to the way you present your food from a visual perspective. Tip number 9, rehearse. It's impossible to deliver a great presentation unless you rehearse. Now, when I say this to people, often they push back and they say, I don't want to rehearse because if I do it, then I sound and appear robotic. Chris Anderson, the author of TED Talks, uses a great analogy. He says that rehearsing is a bit like climbing a mountain. When you climb a mountain, if you start climbing and then you stop, you'll never get to the top of the mountain. So you need to keep climbing. If you have an important presentation coming up and say that you rehearse once and then you stop, of course you will appear robotic. But if you appear robotic, it's not because you have rehearsed. Often it's because you haven't done enough. So you need to keep climbing. You need to get to the top of the mountain. You need to keep rehearsing a few more times. And getting to the top of the mountain means that you have internalized your message. You need to rehearse until you have internalized. You need to own your content. And my final tip for you is to not let authenticity hold you back. Now, when I work with clients to help them improve their presentation skills, again, they often push back because I encourage them to tell stories, include moments of interaction with the audience. We also work on delivery skills like making eye contact, using gestures. And many people resist that because they think that it feels inauthentic. Now, if you think this way, sorry, but most likely you are using authenticity as an excuse for not changing, for not improving. So, for example, if you think your friend's new baby is not the best looking child in the world, would you tell them because you want to be authentic? Of course not. You would say that the baby is beautiful. So you see, there are many times in our day-to-day lives where we wouldn't choose to be authentic. And it's the same with learning to be a better presenter. Of course you want to be authentic. Of course you want to be yourself, but you want to be and you want to become the best authentic version of yourself.
Andre, that was a fantastic 10 minutes, full of tips. Thank you so much. It was really brilliant. I've got just a couple of questions I'd like to ask to assist with the audience's understanding of that last brilliant 10 minutes. First, as you talked about the need for those presenting that pitch or that presentation to research and truly understand their audience, I wondered what a couple of tips are from you in terms of how listeners should approach that research to understand their audience and understand their burning needs, as you alluded to. What can you advise them in terms of where they can go and what they can do?
There are different things we can do. Sometimes we just need to take some time and we know the audience. Often we know our audience, not always, but often we know them. And so we just need to take the time to ask ourselves the right questions. Sometimes we can also ask the audience directly. So perhaps you can have a call with, say, for example, that you've been invited to speak at an event. Then definitely you want to have a conversation with the organizers of the event, and you want to ask some questions about the audience, their burning needs, and the context to the organizers of the event. Or in a business context, say that you have a presentation with a potential client or any other kind of audience in a small business context, then before the presentation, you can have a conversation with your audience and you can ask them, for example, we talked about three key messages. Okay, what are the three most important things that you would like me to cover in this presentation? They'll tell you. So you see, there are different approaches, but the most important thing is that we take some time to ask either ourselves or the right people the right questions.
You mentioned about the three key messages, and I was going to raise that question as well. Why is three the most persuasive number, the most convincing number in presentations?
It comes from science. Again, if we look at how our brain works, then we understand that the human mind likes groups of three. And also, in short-term memory, all of us, whether we like it or not, we find it very hard to remember roughly more than three things, three chunks of information. If you think about it, there are the rule of this is called the rule of three, Paul, and we find it everywhere in society. Like every story has a beginning, a middle, and an end, three parts. You have, when we had COVID in the world, like if you think about in the UK, the government used slogans like stay at home, protect the NHS, save lives, or hands, space, face. It's always three things. The British Transport Police here have the slogan, say it, sort it. And you've got company slogans like just do it, Nike, or Tesco here again in the UK, every little helps. It's always the rule of three is everywhere in society if we start paying attention. That's how our brain works.
And just one final question, Andre. You talked about the most successful presentations or keynotes or deliveries being those that transform rather than just deliver information. You know, the best ones have a transformative approach. What is your advice in this regard for those listening today? Is there a call to action or something else they should put at the end of their presentations to reaffirm or reconfirm the transformational advice they had offered or delivered? What is your advice to them in that regard?
Yes, when it comes to the call to action, I see a common mistake, Paul, which is this. Our most call to actions are not specific enough. So say, for example, that you give a presentation to potential clients. It's a presentation for prospects. What most people do is they go through their content and then somewhere towards the end, they say something like, okay, if you'd like to learn a little bit more about this, then just let me know and we can have a chat. And that's it. Now, the problem with this is that even if there are people in the audience who are interested in having a conversation with you, they don't know what to do to express their interest. So your call to action needs to be more specific. And you could say something like, if you'd like to learn more about how what we've covered today could work for you, then right now I have an opportunity for a few complimentary consultations to see if there might be a fit between what you may be looking for and what we have to offer. If you're interested, just type yes in the chat. Let's say, Paul, that this is an online presentation. Just type yes in the chat and then we'll get in touch to check if you qualify. Now the audience knows, and by the way, if it's in person, instead of typing yes in the chat, it could be the equivalent. Maybe they need to express their interest by completing an expression of interest form. But whatever it is, they know what they need to do to express their interest. Now, this is just one example, but the key takeaway for people is that our calls to action need to be more specific. If there is something we want the audience to do, we need to tell them.
Andre, you've been an incredible first guest. I knew you wouldn't let us down. For all those who would like to learn more about Ideas on Stage and what you do and how you can assist them, how can they get hold of you?
Thank you, Paul. The best thing would be for people to check out the Confident Presenter Scorecard. You can also Google a Confident Presenter Scorecard, which is an online tool where people can assess it's a self-assessment exercise. You can assess your presentation skills for free online in less than 3 minutes. You just need to answer a few questions, yes and no. That tool will give you a score. It will also give you some suggestions for improvement. It will tell you, will explain what that score means for you. And if you complete the scorecard, you will also get a free copy of our best-selling book, Business Presentation Revolution.
Fantastic. Thank you. And I've also read that book, and I can attest to it. It's a brilliant book, so thank you for that. And just as a note to listeners, I will include all the links to the Confident Presenter Assessment and any other links in the notes that accompany this podcast. Andrea, thank you so much for your time today on the new P&L 10 and 10. It's been a brilliant episode to kick off the series, so thank you for your time.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. If you've enjoyed this conversation with Andre and you'd like to learn more, just check out the links in the notes that accompany the podcast. And if you've enjoyed this or any other episode of the new P&L, I invite you to rate us or review us. It all helps with our ratings and our rankings. And I look forward to introducing you to our next guest in the new P&L 10 and 10 in just a couple of weeks. But in the meantime, do pop back next week for the next in our series of the new P&L Deep Discussions and the new P&L To The Points. So finally, I'm Paul, host of the new P&L. Thank you once again for listening and have a great day.